Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I put whatever happened in the first part of the year behind me, and the more we get towards this game, you, Douglas, the more I want to win this game in the worst way. I know there are Falcons fans who want us to lose every game, but man, as we get towards Sunday, I want to win so bad. It's the old rivalry, just starts to peek its head up, throw out the records kind of thing.
I don't think most true Falcons fans want this team to lose. I really don't, man, because I know a couple, and they send me angry texts all the time. Shout out to my man Ryan Cameron, because he does that on the regular. So I know for a fact that he's one person that definitely wants the Falcons to win this game. So as we get closer to the weekend and closer to this game, like, the juices are going to start to flow for the fans, and they're going to be stoked about it. And all those feelings that you had about the Atlanta Falcons on Monday, they're going to go away, and you're just going to pull for the team to win on Sunday.
Some of the headlines this morning, by the way, we have NFL football for you tonight with the Los Angeles Chargers and the Las Vegas Raiders live from Oakland. I'm just getting used to saying it, folks. I'm just getting used to it. Pregame at 8, kick at 8:20 live on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now, the big football this weekend, of course, is going to be college football. We didn't get 1 versus 2 when it came to the poll, but we did get 2 versus 3 with LSU and Alabama. But what is interesting is there is a Hugh, Vegas has come out and reallocated the title odds based upon the college football playoff rankings coming out. They redid the title odds. And there is a pretty big disconnect, it seems, between what the college football committee sees as the way these teams are stacked to win the national title and the way the betting public and the fans see these teams. And it's notable because of a couple of things. Let me just tell you who the favorites are here. So, Hugh, of these teams, and I know you haven't seen the odds, the favorite of the of Vegas to win the national title is Alabama.
You talk about pedigree and what they've been able to do in the past, and you know the eye test for the college football committee. Their reasoning behind picking Alabama where they pick them is Alabama's Alabama. I mean, and that has held true for many, many years. So I can definitely see that.
So Alabama's a 2-1 favorite. Ohio State comes in next at 2.5-1, and then Clemson at 3.5-1. Remember, Clemson was left out of the top four, now defending national champions and all. But it's interesting that Alabama and Clemson fans feel a little bit disrespected with their teams at 3 and at 5, and yet they came in and said, nope, you know what? We like Alabama, and we like Clemson's chances. Of course, Clemson, in a way, you make an argument that Clemson has the best chance of anybody in the college football world to win the national title, if for no other reason that unlike Alabama, LSU, Ohio State, anybody else, they're nobody in their way.
They're not as probably beat up as the other teams. You know, it's funny. I was listening when Gary Danielson talked to Andy and Randy, and he said something that got me thinking a little bit, because for me personally, the first poll, I'd never really get that excited about, but he said something that got me thinking a little bit, and he said that the college football committee's job is to put this poll together like the season ended today. And that resonated with me a little bit, because I'm like, damn, if that's the case, you're not really showing Clemson any respect. If that was their plan and that's what they were trying to do, they're not showing Clemson any respect. Now, from my perspective, I could see why they did that, because Clemson probably has the easiest road to stand pat and get in. Those other teams are going to cannibalize themselves. But at the same time, thinking about the way that they put this list together, it had to be tough. And you know, when you talk about trying to stay linear in your thinking, they haven't done that since they started this. But they've always benefited from the fact that it's always worked itself out. But I do see why people question that, because that is kind of strange. You know, you're talking about Clemson being the defending champion, and if you had to play next week, they're not even in it. Yeah, that was kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, so again, there's a disconnect between Vegas and the committee. Committee, of course, comes in and says Ohio State 1, LSU 2, Alabama 3, and then Penn State number 4. And we mentioned, here's Vegas' new odds that have just been posted yesterday. Alabama number 1 at 2-1, Ohio State 2.5-1 at number 2 on the board. Clemson, 3.5-1, number 3 on the board. LSU, 5-1, number 4 on the board. Georgia, number 5 on the board at 12-1. Have you noticed we haven't mentioned a team yet? Yeah, how about the 4th-ranked and would-be in Penn State Nittany Lions? Well, according to Vegas U, Penn State is a 16-1 shot to win the national title. And so they put Penn State down at the 6th-best odds and well below a couple of teams that they're ahead of well below Clemson. Well, Clemson's 3.5-1, Penn State 16.5-1. But look at how they ranked them in the College Football Committee. So there's a disconnect between how Vegas views them in the committee.
Well, this is how I think when I think of how the College Football Committee puts this together. Now, number one, the conversation or the storyline always changes every year. No matter how many times you ask questions about specific things, it has always been so far on a year-to-year basis. So it's whatever fits the narrative at the time. That I wholeheartedly believe that. Vegas is looking at it totally different. They're using, you know, different analytics and things of that nature. But as far as the College Football Committee, they do it because I think that they know deep down in their heart that everything is going to play out. And they haven't been caught. They haven't been taken to task for it yet. That's the beautiful thing about this whole setup, is this 14 playoffs, as much as people complain about it, they would rather have it this way as opposed to how it used to be. So, and not only that, every year that there has been questions or controversy about the teams that have been in, somehow it always has worked itself out so that the better teams have been on display in this whole process. So it's one of those things where we're going to complain about the system. We're going to complain about the way that they think. But so far, they have not been caught with their pants down.
All right, so you have the top six teams are the top six favorites on the board. They're just reordered, and the odds are longer for Penn State, for example, at 16-1, as opposed to Clemson at 3.5-1. Beyond that, we get to the same situation that the committee says, which is that at the moment, the top six are clearly the top six, and that there's a line between 6 and 7. And you can see that reflected in the odds of Vegas. Below Penn State at 16-1, I'll just run through these. Oklahoma at 30-1, Utah at 30-1, Oregon at 40-1, and then Baylor and Minnesota, the other two unbeaten teams, at 100-1. But, you know, it's interesting, Hugh. If I were in Vegas, I might put, I don't know, $25, $30 down on Baylor and Minnesota. Not that I think that they can actually get there, but if you're getting 100-1 odds,
Baylor,
for
Minnesota,
$3,000,
do what?
To win the national title, you're getting $3,000 on a $30 bid.
Minnesota going to get the brakes beat off of them this weekend.
Yeah, that may be true.
Yeah, so why are you wasting money?
Well, because
why are you wasting money?
It's gambling. I mean, I'm getting 100-1
odds.
Oh,
no, I'm not about to do that. I'm not. I understand the odds, and I understand I'm not about to do that. That's, to me, that's not a smart gamble. Baylor, I don't, like, they put up points. I don't know what the defense looks like against a team like, say, Georgia, that can run the ball down your throat at will. Like, their offense is predicated on them actually being able to be on the field and being able to execute. If you get a team that can control the clock, say like a LSU, any other team, Alabama, something like that, that negates everything that Baylor brings to the table. I just look at it like this. That run and shoot, whatever you call it, fun and gun offenses that they run, when you go up against a team that can just line up and like physically wear you out, that takes away anything that you do offensively, because number one, you don't have that many possessions. You're not going to have that many possessions to put that many points up on the board. And your defense, when it gets down to the nitty gritty in the third and fourth quarter, they're going to be worn out. That's why, like, teams like that are play against other teams that throw the ball a lot, really don't get them too much credence.
Talking about some of the headlines this morning on Sports Radio 90.9 The Game with the NFL tonight, and the Chargers and Raiders on 90.9 The Game, headed towards the Falcons and Saints on Sunday. Hawks, again, off a bad performance last night, will play Sacramento tomorrow night. Tickets available at Hawks.com. Last home game of a four-game homestand before they go out on the road for nearly 2 weeks. So catch them while you can tomorrow night. Also, Atlanta United making news. The reports are that Darlington Nagbe, their star midfielder, has been traded to the Columbus Crew. Now,
for Gripperton.
Yeah, now here's the thing about this. Yeah, it's an undisclosed amount of allocation money. It's going to be quite a bit. This is a blow to Atlanta United, no question about it. But it's not unexpected in the sense that Darlington Nagbe's from Ohio. His family's from Ohio, Hugh. He basically, at this point in his career, wants to go home and be with his team. He's won a title with Atlanta United. But it's hard to replace Darlington Nagbe. It'll be interesting to see how Atlanta United approaches this offseason. Do they go outside and try and make a move to find somebody to try to fill that spot?
They probably will, but I hear you, like I always do, but I think it's deeper than that. I think Darlington Nagbe and the coach had a little bit of beef earlier this year that they did a great job of keeping under wraps. I think that probably had something to do with this move as well. I'm speculating. Don't know anybody in Atlanta United's camp. I don't have any insider news about that. But, you know, there was a time during the towards the beginning of the year, there was a little bit of a rift. And there was some speculation of whether or not, you know, there was some beef between him and the coach. And Atlanta United did a great job of keeping all that under wraps. I think that part of that had to go into this decision as well.
You know, as Atlanta United goes into this offseason, if you can't replace Nagbe, you know, effectively because he is so good at that spot, it may force Frank DeBoer into, you know, altering a little bit about what the team does, which may change how they view this offseason. Look, we know this is true, you're going to have to make some decisions about certain guys this offseason. Pity Martinez, Julian Gressel, and Darlington Nagbe. And so there are going to be changes here. I would certainly think and hope that Gressel is going to be back. As to Pity, I mean, we could see what they're going to do with him. But there are going to be changes to the team, and Frank DeBoer is going to put his stamp on it. We do know this much. The talk about Frank DeBoer being gone is gone. So now it's Frank DeBoer's team. And if Frank DeBoer wants to make them less, a Latin club in terms of their style and attack and more of a European club because that's what he's inclined to do, that's what you may see.
I think he's earned the respect. You know, I think a lot of people were like bucking the system when he first got here because they didn't understand what he was trying to implement. I think when you look at the result, it wasn't ultimately what we wanted, but, you know, for it to have that, for the season to start out the tumultuous way it did and for them to be in the position that they were in, I think he's earned some respect. And so those guys, Pity, I don't see him being here because I think that even though everybody handled it like gentlemen, that riff was probably too big, and he's probably going to get up out of here. They're probably going to get Pity up out of here.
Well, Darlington, thank you for everything you meant coming over from Portland to this team. You were instrumental, and that's being, you know, downplaying your role on this team in winning the MLS Cup and everything else that this team achieved. It is hate week. Man, I want to beat them Saints. I don't care if you want.
I want to lose the rest of my game.
All right, fine, that's you. I want to beat them Saints something fierce. Let's get the very latest from Flowery Branch. Kelsey Conway going to join us. And we'll get the inside story from what's going on up the road, up 85 and 985. We'll do that next on The Morning Show with John and Hugh after a CBS Sports Minute.
We need to feel like that again, like real soon.
Especially with it being hate week and all, heading down to that place, that town, Sticky Town and all that. Kelsey Conway, Falcons team reporter, AtlantaFalcons.com, joins us, give us a little bit of the inside story on the Atlanta Falcons. Morning to you, Kelsey.
Kelsey.
Morning, guys.
What's going on? So, Kelsey, I know the guys had a bye week. So what did you do on your bye week? How did you get away and unwind?
I got out of town, decompressed, didn't watch a whole lot of football, so I got recharged, and now I'm ready.
Cool.
Well, I hope the team is feeling the same way coming off the bye, that they're recharged and ready, because there is no rest for the weary, Kelsey. We've been talking about this. I mean, the unusual schedule this team faces, with six of their final eight games being all the division games, and then five division games in a row. Wow.
Yeah, and that's kind of the crazy part about this, is even though the Falcons are where they are in terms of their record, the season is not over by any means, because they haven't played a division game yet. And as you guys both know, what you do in the division is the most important thing. So if the Falcons can string together a couple wins here over the next couple of weeks, you know, who knows how this thing can unfold, because the division is the most important thing and they've got all of their games in front of them. So it's interesting and almost exciting at the same time, because it's essentially a new season.
So what is the mentality of the team coming off the bye week?
Well, I heard what you guys were playing from Matt Ryan's audio yesterday, and it's very point-blank matter of the fact from Dan Quinn and Matt Ryan this week. They're frustrated, but the team recognizes that no one's pleased with where they're at and how they started, but they're just hoping that the freshness that comes with a bye is finally going to pay off. You can talk all all you want about did the buy come at the right time for this team. It's only about what you do with it. And if you take advantage of what you were able to reset over the bye week with. And I thought the most interesting thing DQ said was he felt that the focus was off in the first half of the season. And that's really the first time he's ever said that this year. So Matt Ryan elaborated on it. He said you have to practice being focused. And however each person needs to do that, they need to do that. So I think they're hoping that if they can get the focus on game day right, they're really close to being able to string together some wins.
Kelsey Conway, team reporter for the Atlanta Falcons on the WadeFord.com hotline. Kelsey, I can only speak for myself as a talk show host and as a fan that, you know, forget about the records when it comes to this rivalry. I want them to go down there and crack some hoodad heads, all right? I mean, I want this in the worst way. I mean, you want to whip these whiner swampers out of their, you know, just take it to them here. Does the rivalry mean something? What's different about this Falcons thing? I mean, did the team get into it the way the fans do?
Yeah, definitely. And I was actually talking to Harry Douglas about that yesterday in open locker room. Like you said, you throw the records out. And what a better way to get back on track than going to New Orleans and beating your division rival. But what's interesting and different about this year's Falcons-Saints matchup is historically the Saints have been really good because of their offense with Drew Brees and Sean Payton at the helm. But this year, the Saints' defense is the reason why they're playing as well as they are. And I think that's going to be different for the Falcons. Past couple of years, the Saints have been playing better on defense, but this is by far the best defense the Saints have had in a long time. And the Falcons' offense is going to have to go down and win this game if they want to come out of New Orleans with a win. Of course, Drew Brees is going to do what Drew Brees does. Alvin Kamara is expected to be back. Michael Thomas is playing exceptionally well. But this game, the Falcons' offense is going to need to play their best game, which they haven't done yet this year for four quarters, because the Saints have the number five rushing defense. They're getting two quarterbacks. Cam Jordan has eight sacks, and they've got a strong secondary now with Marcus Lattimore, a veteran now. So I think what's different about this game is obviously you're going to have to take care of business on the road, which the Superdome is one of the hardest places to play in professional sports, and you're dealing with a much better defense in previous years. So I think it's going to take a complete game with focus on all three ends of the field.
Sports Radio 929 again. We're talking to Kelsey Conway, Atlanta Falcons team reporter. Speaking of defense, how can we get Tack McKinley going this weekend?
You know, I asked CQ about Tack specifically on Wednesday, because when you look back on the first half of the season, obviously we've all talked about Falcons not getting to the quarterback, but Tack McKinley has half of a sack through eight games, and that's just simply not good enough for the Falcons. Between him and Vic Beasley, to have 1.5 sacks is something that they need to get ramped up. But the good thing is with Tack, and Hugh, you can speak on this more, Tack's close. It's not a question of his motor. It's not a question of him playing hard. It's just about him finishing. And DQ said the goal for Tack is not trying to change 30% of his game. It's really just getting him to fine-tune between 5 to 10% of what they need him to do to hopefully be able to finish and get some sacks.
Talking with Kelsey Conway on the WadeFord.com hotline, Atlanta Falcons team reporter. Last thing from me, Kelsey, that I'm kind of curious about. I mean, through eight games, this has been one of those weird, unusual things. The Atlanta Falcons have had eight different kickers and punters, eight that have been under contract to this team this year. Again, a new place kicker and a new punter this week for this game going down there. Have you had a chance to, because I haven't had a chance to meet him yet, have you had a chance to meet and talk with Young Wei Koo?
Yeah, and I was really impressed with his poise when we talked to him on Wednesday. He said that the entire time that he's been out of the league, he stayed working out and was prepared that he was going to get a call again. And I think you bring that up, and that's a good point to bring up ahead of this game, is special teams is different for the Falcons this year. For so long, Falcons fans were used to Matt Bosher, Josh Harris, and Matt Bryant. Now you've got a new punter, a new kicker, and think to be their first game together. So special teams is definitely something to watch this weekend, because like anything, it takes you know, groups a while to get used to each other. So hopefully these guys are able to pick up where the other guys left off and there's no glitches on that end of the field. Because DQ said in order for this team to get it turned around in the second half of the season, it's going to come down to a better turnover margin, and he wants better field position from the special teams unit. So hopefully these new guys can come in and help with that.
Kelsey, as always, appreciate your insight. Thanks much.
Thanks, guys.
You're the best.
All right, Kelsey Conway, Atlanta Falcons team reporter on the WayForward.com hotline. Yeah, it's like punter du jour. I mean, you got to have a roster to know. Again, fifth punter, Ryan Allen, who punted for the Patriots, who is the fifth punter this team has had under contract this year. And Youngway Koo, the former Georgia Southern star. Yeah, Georgia, yeah, Matt Bryant. Now you got Youngway Koo, third-place kicker. So eight kickers in 8 weeks. That's a lot of legs to be moving in and out, trying to figure out, you know, holders and long snappers and everything else. Man.
Yeah, getting everybody comfortable with one another. Yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot going on.
It is a lot going on. And, of course, you're going up against a team that has the former Georgia State star, Will Lutz, who's turned into one of the most reliable and best kickers in the NFL. Yeah, Saints are top five in the NFL in defense. Well, I've had a good year. Falcons fans, tune in to 90 on the game 2 hours before every Falcons game for the Bud Light countdown to kickoff. Harry and Paul, matter of fact, Paul Crane getting ready to do an update here. Harry Douglas and Paul Crane previewing the Falcons and Saints countdown to kickoff, brought to you by Bud Light. Bud Light is brewed for the Dirty Birds. You may have heard us at the beginning of the hour talking about the new odds that have been posted in Vegas on who's going to win the national title. We'll talk with the Action Network and with John Ewing about who he thinks is going to win LSU-Alabama. Can the Falcons cover the number against the Saints? And what about those title odds? We'll get into that next on the morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on the Game and 92onthegame.com. Sports Radio 92 on the Game. Hate Week continues. Falcons and Northern Truth down in Stinky Town. Drag the Swarm. I'm going to get into trouble with a little poll that I'm trolling fans on my Twitter at John Fricky. You can go see that.
Some people, they got the head.
Let's get into this. Falcons, largest underdog in the NFL this week. 13-point dog to the Saints down in the Swamp here. Let's go to the Action Network. If you've never been to actionnetwork.com, live site, you see all the live odds and all the live gambling that comes in on it. It's a really cool site. Can't recommend it enough. Plus the app, too, the Action Network app. If you're looking for an edge, you could download the free Action Network app, get live odds and expert analysis for every single game. And we go to the WayForward.com hotline to bring in John Ewing
John.
Of the Action Network. Morning to you, John.
What's going on, fellas?
Nothing much, John. So when Vegas does the odds on this game, because you know you're talking about the Falcons are 13-point underdogs, do they take into account the hatred between these two teams?
No, not really. I mean, this is all about performance, what these teams have done this season, and the line pretty much tells you everything you need to know. The Saints are a Super Bowl contender. The Falcons are not, and that is why they're a double-digit favorite here. But when I analyzed this game, when we ran 10,000 simulations of this matchup, we think this line is a little inflated. We have the Saints winning, but it's closer to 10 points on average. So this line is inflated because the Saints have looked so good, because the Falcons have struggled. No doubt the Saints should have an advantage here. We specifically call out the biggest mismatch in this game is the Saints passing offense versus the Falcons pass defense. I mean, in Drew Brees' return from injury, he had 373 yards and 3 touchdowns, and he's going up against this pass defense for the Falcons that grades out as 36.4 in coverage per Pro Football Focus. So Brees should have a good day, should have his way passing the ball. But this line still a little high. If you want to lean into that, it's a rivalry. Maybe there's a little value there taking the points with the Falcons.
You know, we were talking about this before, John Ewing of the Action Network at actionnetwork.com and the app as well. John, and this is outside of football. We'll get back to football because there's so much to talk about within football. But as it relates to the Hawks, the news about John Collins this week, you know, he's going to be out for 25 games with this suspension. Won't be back to December 23rd. On a futures bet, the win total for the season for the Hawks, can you tell me what the win total, do you know off the top of your head by any chance what the win total was for the Hawks for the season, and how does that affect, you know, a suspension like this would affect, you would think, the over-under on a win total for a team, correct?
Yeah, so coming into the season, the Hawks' win total was 32.5 games. I reached out to my colleague, Matt Moore, who is our NBA expert, and kind of got a little breakdown from him on his opinion of this. So obviously you want Collins in the lineup if you have the over here. This is a player that many thought could take that leap this year, become an all-star. But so far this season, they had a negative net rating with him on the floor. So it's obviously early, but that just kind of shows you that maybe, you know, he wasn't having the impact that a lot of people thought he would right off the bat. Of course, you know, they're short on bigs, so that could be a problem for him here. But the biggest thing is that it's only 25 games. That's not a huge sample. And when you're talking only about a 32.5 game over-under, you know, they still have a chance. And we saw in that first game without him, they came back in that fourth quarter, beat the Spurs as, you know, sizable underdogs. Of course, they lost last night as a small favorite to the Bulls. So, you know, if they play 500 ball kind of like that while he's suspended, you're still in good shape to get your over.
We're talking to John Ewing from the Action Network on Sports Radio 929 The Game. There are teams out there that people just don't like Duke basketball, for example. Do you see more bets against these type of teams just so people can root against them?
Yeah, I mean, Duke is what we would call a public team. They've been good for so long that the games they play attract a ton of action. I don't know a lot of people that are betting against them just because they hate them. Maybe, you know, you get the emotional hedges is what you're kind of leaning in towards. So, yeah, if you're a fan of North Carolina or something, maybe you put a little something on Duke. You root for your Tar Heels, but then if they don't win, at least you make a little bit of money. But with teams like Duke, you just see an increased amount of handle of action, and it's always good for the bookmakers. They love action, and the more tickets they can get, the better for them.
Talking with John Ewing of the Action Network, let's get down to cases here. Big game of the week, of course, is LSU-Alabama. LSU number 2 in the nation in the first college football committee poll. Alabama number 3. LSU goes into this game in Tuscaloosa without one of their star linebackers, Michael Divinity, who has left the team. Alabama comes into the game with question marks, even though we've seen video, John Ewing, of Tua Tagovailoa being able to move around in practice. That's one thing. The game will be another. And we saw that Mac Jones is every bit the 4-star quarterback that we thought he was as his backup last week. How do you see this game playing out, and how do you like Alabama as a 6.5-point favorite?
By our power ratings, we make Bama a 6-point favorite on a neutral field. Then you add in home field advantage, and we think this line should be closer to 9 points. So you're getting them anywhere. I'm seeing lines anywhere from 5.5 to 6.5. So definitely shop around for the best price, but we like the Tide in this spot. Something else that's really interesting from a historical standpoint, Bama coming off a bye week. We've seen historically ranked teams off a bye playing at home have covered nearly 60% of the time since 2005. So give Saban extra time to rest and prepare. And Tua is a game-time decision, a true game-time decision. But like you said, even with their backup in there, he still looked really good. So I like the line here. I think it's a little depressed because of the Tua potential injury situation, but I think you're getting the Tide at a discounted price, so I would lay the points here with Bama.
How do you feel about the over in this game? I mean, you're talking about Joe Burrow, who's put up pinball numbers. You're talking about the Alabama air attack with those four wide receivers, even though I know LSU's had a pretty good defense, but no Michael Divinity this week. How do you like the over on a kind of a shootout between these two?
Yeah, we think the over is the right side. Again, using our power rating, we project the over-under to be 69 points between these two teams, so it's at 62.5 right now. So there's a ton of value. I know a lot of times people think Bama LSU, the first thing that comes to mind are those great defensive matchups we saw in years past, but that's not the team they have this year. Both of them employ second and third in passing offense with their star quarterbacks. They've run up-tempo. They are very efficient. They run a ton of plays. And so all that leads to points, points, points. And this is a huge total, but we don't think it's high enough. We like the over here as well. So Bama to cover and the over.
All right, John, one quick final question here. A lot of Clemson fans are in their feelings about the rankings being left out of the top four. Right now, would you on a neutral field favor Clemson against any of those top four teams?
Yeah, the only teams we would have Clemson as an underdog to right now are Ohio State and Alabama. And it was close. It'd only be a 2-point dog to Ohio State, a 0.5 point to the Tide. against a team like Penn State that is currently number 4 in the selection committee's ranking, Clemson would be favored by 10.5 points over the Nittany Lions. So Clemson doesn't have anything to worry about. I think they're going to get into the Final Four there. But at least, you know, they can at least hang their hat on the fact that in terms of true ability, they're definitely one of the top 4 teams in the country.
John, we appreciate your jumping in here. Thanks much.
You're the man.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
John Ewing of the Action Network at actionnetwork.com. You can download their free app as well. Clemson would be, according to the folks at the Action Network, right now a 10.5 point favorite over Penn State. Wow.
That sounds about right.
LSU and Alabama. Calvin Ridley's got thoughts. We'll have that next. What does the Alabama star say about going up against LSU this week? As we continue next with John and Hugh on the Morning Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.